Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. At first glance, it might seem obvious as to why the end of the church year and the season of Advent, both focusing on the end of all things, should fall during this time of the year. The days are shorter, the darkness comes earlier and earlier, plants and trees have lost their leaves and have died, the grass is yellow, even brown, birds and animals migrate or hibernate. Winter is on its way. Seems to be an appropriate image for the end, right? Not according to Jesus. Listen again to the image that he uses for the end times. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. For Jesus, it's not fall or winter that are the appropriate seasons to signify the end, but rather spring and summer. And this is how we Christians should view the end as well. Whether that be Christ's return in glory to judge both the living and the dead, or our own personal end, death. For death is every individual's last day. Now, this doesn't mean that winter has nothing to teach us about the end. For Jesus continues this morning, "Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." There is something that is withering. There is something that is fading away, just as the grass withers and the flower fades as winter arrives. Heaven and earth, not the presence of God, but rather the sun, moon, and stars, just as when he says the powers of the heavens. From the very moment Jesus cried out, "It is finished," from the cross, the end began. The last days arrived. For God's work of salvation, indeed the entire purpose of human history, was completed, finished with Jesus' death. It was finished. That salvation work that began thousands of years before in Genesis chapter 3, when God promised the woman's offspring who would bruise the serpent's head. It was finished. The fulfillment of the promise that had been made to generation after generation, beginning with Adam and Eve. And then to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to Moses, to David. It was finished. Everything that God had been doing in human history to that point was complete. Atonement was accomplished. Forgiveness was won. Nothing else left to do, which is why it's by faith alone that we receive it. It is finished. The end had arrived. And so all that remains is to spread the good news, to proclaim the end to every nation on this earth. It is finished. And so, because it is finished, everything has begun to pass away. And this passing away should be apparent to us. Jesus tells us that there are signs of this in sun and moon and stars and on the earth, the roaring of the sea and the waves. Elsewhere, he speaks about nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences. As we see all these things taking place in the world around us, we should know that all things are passing away. And just as heaven and earth will pass away, so also will those who put their trust in heaven and in earth, that is, in the sun, moon, and stars, and earth. Jesus preached this very thing to his disciples earlier in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. "Just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And then the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day that the Son of Man is revealed." So says Jesus. Eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage, buying, selling, planting, building, none of these things are sinful pursuits. In fact, they are all good gifts of God, properly understood. But if your life consists in the abundance of these things and in these things alone, then you are in danger of that great and final day of the Lord springing upon you like a trap. Now, God does not will this. It should not be this way for you. He has given ample evidence, myriad signs, to show you that heaven and earth are indeed passing away. The sun, moon, and stars, distress of nations, the sea and the waves, countless others. Yes, even including the gray skies, cold weather, bare branches, and white snow that you see when you look out your window this time of year. These are all signs that all things are passing away, including all the desires, pastimes, and possessions of this world. And yet, though God has given us so many signs of the end, we are very quick to ignore them. We read of nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom in the newspaper, and then we set it aside to go play golf. We see the devastation of great earthquakes and tsunamis, tornadoes, and so forth on television. We turn it off and go out to dinner. We receive appeals to help those who are suffering from famine and pestilence from all around the world. We throw it away, consider it junk, and go shopping. We step outside and endure the brutal cold and the wind and the snow, and all we do is complain that it causes us extra work. But upon hearing the word of the Lord today, we should not just let these warnings, these signs, go in one ear and out the other. We should ponder their meaning. We should not go on with life as if this life were all that there is, but pay attention to the signs and see in creation that the end is coming. This is exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ is talking about when he tells you to watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life. Now, dissipation and drunkenness are very similar. Dissipation is literally a hangover, something you would get after a night of carousing, a headache after drunkenness the night before. How common is that during this season of parties and get-togethers? And Jesus doesn't just stop with that. He emphasizes the cares of this life, which we know very well this time of year. How many cares are filling your life today? How many gifts do you still need to buy? Or cards do you still need to write? How much cooking or cleaning do you still need to get done? What are you hoping to see under the tree Christmas morning? What about the bills that are coming after the holiday? And so on and so on and so on. The cares of this life are many, and that's just during this month. You have all the other distractions of daily life that go year-round. Sports, shopping, politics, recreation, work, anything of this world. And again, all those things may be good, fine, worthwhile in and of themselves, but Jesus warns you today to watch yourselves. Watch out, lest in them you find your whole reason for existence, your whole reason for being here, and thus grow content with this world and forget that Christ is coming with glory to judge both the living and the dead. When he comes, those who put their trust in such passing, failing things will greet his coming with fainting, fear, and foreboding. Just like Noah's neighbors did when they watched the rain begin to fall from the sky. Just like the residents of Sodom and Gomorrah did when they saw the first sparks of sulfur and fire. All that they trusted in passed away in a moment. And so it will be when Christ returns. All those earthly idols will pass away in an instant, and those who trust in such idols will likewise pass away. That day is coming, says the prophet, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But that lesson goes on. But for you who fear his name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. For you who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who trust in him for your salvation, the end is not a winter time of passing away, but rather a springtime of blossoming, light, warmth, and joy. You shall go out like calves leaping from the stall. You will greet that day, says Jesus, not with fainting, not with fear, not with foreboding, but rather by straightening up, by raising your head. For your redemption is drawing near. And your redemption is none other than Jesus Christ, your Lord. For as St. Paul writes at the beginning of his epistle to the Ephesians, in Jesus Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace which he lavished upon us. In Christ, through his blood shed for you on the cross, even as he was crying out, "It is finished," in him you have redemption, the forgiveness of your sins. His death has redeemed you from every and all sin, and his blood purifies your conscience from dead works, like dissipation, like drunkenness, like making an idol of the cares of this life, to serve the living God, to serve him by living in harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, together with one voice glorifying the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by welcoming one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Yes, you are redeemed. Jesus Christ has died and is risen again for you. And therefore your life does not consist in the cares and occupations and desires and possessions of this life, things that are even now passing away as the end approaches, fading like the leaf in autumn and in winter. Rather, your life is hidden with Christ and God, like the budding leaf of the fig tree in the spring. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory, just as the leaf is in full bloom in summer. And therefore, when these things begin to take place, do not faint with fear or foreboding of what is coming on the world. Instead, straighten up, raise your heads, because your redemption, Christ who has redeemed you with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, your redemption is drawing near. Therefore, unlike the world, Christ's coming is not the winter, but rather the spring of a new creation of which you have been made an heir by grace alone. Now, how can we be sure of this? We see all things passing away around us, the signs and sun, moon, and stars, the distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. In the midst of such signs indicating the passing away of heaven and earth, how can we be sure that we ourselves will not pass away with them? How can we be sure that we will not be caught up in that decay? Hear again what Christ our Lord says. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. This is very much like what he said through the prophet Isaiah hundreds of years before when he said, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." And so, even though everything else might fade away, God's word will not. God's word will endure. God's word stands forever. For he endures. He stands forever. He is eternal. And this has everything to do with you enduring. This has everything to do with you having eternal life, even as heaven and earth themselves pass away. St. Peter explains this in chapter 1 of his first epistle. First, he quotes that passage from Isaiah, "All flesh is like grass, and the glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever." But then he goes on to write this, "And this word is the good news that was preached to you." And then he goes on to say, "Love one another earnestly from a pure heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and the abiding word of God." You see, you have been born of water and the Word in holy baptism. You have been made God's own dear child and an heir of the kingdom of heaven. And that Word of which you were born is God's Word, which is eternal, which never passes away. And because you were born of that imperishable Word, you will never perish. You will not pass away. God has declared you to be righteous and innocent in his sight, and so you will remain, now and in the day of judgment, and even forevermore, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Yes, heaven and earth will pass away, but Jesus' words will not pass away, and neither will you who have been born of that Word. The powers of the heavens will be shaken, but you are the Lord's, who is at the right hand of the Father, that you may not be shaken. Therefore let your hearts be glad, let your tongues rejoice, let your flesh also dwell in hope. The sea and the waves will roar, but God is your refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore do not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam. Christ is risen, he will never die again, he remains forever. Abiding in his Word, you too will remain forever. Yes, that day will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. If not the great and final day of the Lord, then certainly that day when you take your final breath and depart this earthly life. But as you await that day, do not let your hearts be weighed down. Instead, lift up your hearts as we lift them unto the Lord. Straighten up and raise your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. For as it was from the earliest days of the Christian church, so is it now. Believers looking forward to the end, whether of their lives or of the world, not with anxiety, but rather with hope. The Lord taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come." When most of you pray your meal prayers, you pray for the end. Come, Lord Jesus. And the Bible itself ends with this promise and prayer. He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Let these words fill your hearts, your minds, and your lips, not just in this Advent season, but each and every day. And he will keep his promise. He is coming soon. And therefore we pray, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.